All right. Hello, everybody. Good evening and welcome. We are going to begin this regular board meeting of the Board of Directors for Upper San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District. If you could all please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Director Vargas, if you could lead us, please.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Excellent. Next item is the roll call of the Board of Directors. Vanessa?
Director Trevino? Director Chavez?
Present.
Director Garcia?
Present.
Vice President Fellow?
Present.
President Santana?
Present. We have all five members present. Next on the agenda is the adoption of the agenda. Can I get a motion and a second?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second from Director Garcia, second by Director Fellow. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed? That passes on a 5-0. Next item we have is public comments.
Good afternoon, Madam President. We have not received any written public comments prior to this meeting. However, if anyone wishes to speak now, they may do so at the podium.
Okay. Thank you very much. We see some familiar faces in the audience, but no public comments today. Next, we have committee reports. We have no committee reports in our packet today. Nothing to report on there. Item 6 is consent calendar. If there are no edits, can I have a motion and a second?
So moved. Second.
We have a motion from Director Trevino, a second from Director Garcia. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed? Passes on a 5-0. Our next item is item 7, action discussion items, and 7A, approval of a new full-time employee position and salary range. Tom?
Yeah, thanks, President Santana. So just a little bit of history on our staffing. Recently in about, I think it was 2001, we took advantage of an opportunity through attrition to eliminate two full-time positions. So at the time, and currently I think we have, Evelyn, is at 9.5? 9.5. So currently we're at 9.5. Previously we were at 11.5 positions. Since we have occupied this building, there's been a lot of maintenance activity, repairs, little touch-ups on this building, to the point where it has become apparent that if we had some ability to do those services in-house, we would save money because we wouldn't have to hire a painting contractor or a plumber for certain things. You know, not major maintenance work, but the typical maintenance that you would have with a building of this nature. So I decided it was appropriate that we move our halftime position to a full-time position. Currently, that halftime position works at our outreach booths, hauls our bottles of water around for events of various other miscellaneous activities, and has also been assisting us with maintenance of the building part-time. But I feel that there is certainly full-time work associated with all those activities, in particular the building. I found it interesting when Evelyn prepared this memo that that part-time position was originally hired when we were in the Almonte building to provide building maintenance and landscape maintenance. So we've come full circle, and then when we moved to Monrovia and we're leasing a building where we didn't have to do building maintenance, that position was assigned more frequently to the outreach events and other activities. So with this, we have a recommendation. The Board of Directors approve a full-time facilities technician position with an annual salary range set at $58,000 to $76,000. Evelyn did some research with other agencies for as similar a position as we can find. It's not, you know, it's not every agency has this type of position, but she found, I think, three or four other agencies to compare to come up with a salary range. So staff recommends the board approve moving our part-time position to a full-time position.
About time. And I'd make a motion to approve that.
Second.
All right.
Frank's been with me since I got elected, I think.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I think, do you have any other comments or questions?
Just an observation. So we have, you know,
So how many full-time employees again, 10, 11?
With this, if the board approves this action, we will have a total of 11 full, 11, 10, 10.
Okay.
I got to look at my account to add numbers together. 10 full-time positions.
Okay. And again, just observation, you know, I worked for the Board of Supervisors out in San Bernardino, and our staff was about 12 people just for one person. And then, you know, as an agency, we have 10. And then I was looking at one of the supervisors in L.A. County. They have 31 staffers for one supervisor at L.A. County. Wow. It's amazing how big. Yeah. So yeah. We're very lean,
mean fighting lean machine.
There you go.
Yeah,
very efficient. So, all right.
All right.
I'm here to support it.
Wonderful. Okay. So we do have a motion and a second, and all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? That passes on a 5-0. Next, we will go ahead and move on to item 7B, update on proposed biennial budget for fiscal year 24-25, 25-26.
All right, Evelyn will make this presentation, and I'll just give you a little preface. So as we continue through the draft budget discussions, there's still a few things that we are modifying the budget. Evelyn will talk about those. Those are new things. In addition, when we briefed the producers on the budget, and this was subsequent to the MWD board adopting their rates for the next 2 years, and the last time the board, the Upper District Board or Committee saw our budget was before MWD adopted their rates. So MWD adopted their rates, and for the water that we buy, most of our water, 90, I would say 98% of it in typical years, 95-98% of our water is untreated. The untreated rate from MWD will go up 1% January 1st of 2025 and 8% January 1st of 2026, much less than the original MWD projected rate increase of 11% on that untreated rate in 2025. In our discussions with the producers at a producer meeting earlier this month, the producers suggest, well, let me back up. The other part of the MWD rate adoption is the readiness to serve charge is going up significantly. And upper district share of the RTS charge also is increasing. And so it puts us in a situation where in order to recover that fixed charge for MET, we do not pass through that fixed charge directly. We recover that through our volumetric charge as long as enough water is purchased. So in our conversations with the producers, the suggestion was made is because they several of them planned on an MWD 11% increase, and now it's 1%. Let's take advantage of that and adjust our surcharge or some methodology to recover the increasing RTS, because that will probably be, well, it definitely will be less than the originally proposed MWD 11% increase. So we're in discussion with the Water Master and the producers about this. Now, typically, Upper District, when we adopt our budget, which we plan to do at the first meeting in June, we don't always adopt our water rate at that time because our water rate doesn't go into effect July 1st. It goes into effect January 1st. And typically, we will bring back to the board a recommendation for adopting our water rate or our surcharge around the July-August time frame. So we've also had this discussion with Water Master and the producers, and they're okay with that time frame. So we plan to continue the dialogue with the producers on this, but Evelyn will go into some of the details. Number one, some of the changes to the budget, the draft budget, since we last discussed this with the board, and then talk about this RTS charge and what we plan to do, the different options we have to deal with that.
So just to start the presentation, I'd like to briefly go over the budget timeline that we that we followed this fiscal year. So we started the process in February and March when we first had committee discussions on the programs and preliminary budgets. And then earlier this month, we presented the first draft of the consolidated budget numbers to the Finance and Administration Committee. And as Tom mentioned, at that time, we didn't have the adopted water rates and charges from Metropolitan. So what we did is we used Metropolitan's original proposed rates. So for this today's presentation, our update will not include detailed programmatic budget numbers. Rather, we will go over the changes that we made after our first draft was presented to the Administration and Finance Committee, along with how Metropolitan's adopted rates and budget are impacting our own rates and charges setting. So, and then next month, we hope we will present the second draft of the budget to the Administration and Finance Committee for consideration by the board, by the full board in June. And then afterwards, as we continue our discussion with the producers and Water Master on regarding the rates and charges, once we have those set, we will come back to the board at a future meeting to have the board consider adoption of whatever those proposed rates and charges would be. Next slide. So when, as you can see in this table, when we adopted, Metropolitan's adopted rates for untreated water, untreated water and treated water, were much lower than their original proposed rates. However, the capacity charge and the RTS charges adopted by Metropolitan are higher than originally proposed. We should also note that of these rates, except for the RTS charge, the untreated, the treated water rate charges, the capacity charges, are all directly passed through to Water Master and the producers. However, the RTS charge, it used to be fully recovered by the standby charge that Metropolitan collects on behalf of Upper District up until fiscal year 2017-18. After that, there has been an increasing gap between the revenue generated and the RTS allocated by Metropolitan, which we will show later in the presentation of what those numbers are. and which increases the burden on our volumetric rates. So apart from the Metropolitan rates and charges that we updated, we also provided some funds for the development of the Urban Water Management Plan for 2020, I think it's 2025, the next one. So we added 15,000 for fiscal year 24-25, and then 20,000 for fiscal year 25-26. So that's an additional expenses. However, the third bullet there is in keeping with our continued commitment to contain our operating costs. So what we did through our in our revised budget, we are reducing our personal expenses by drawing funds from our trust plan established for retiree benefits. So as of the last actuarial study, that trust plan or our other post-employment benefits are fully funded. So what that means is we can now start withdrawing, reimbursing ourselves for those retiree benefits that we will be paying. So for fiscal year 24-25, we're actually reducing our operating our personal expenses by 163,000, and for 25-26, we are reducing it by 141,000. Next slide. So as I mentioned earlier, the RTS charge of Metropolitan has been increasing over the years. In fact, just from 2021, it increased from 133 million, so that's the second column, to a forecasted 184.5 million in fiscal year 25-26. So that's the MWD total RTS cost. Now, Upper District share has also seen significant increases over the year. So from 10 years ago at close to 1%, we are now projecting to end fiscal year 25-26 at almost triple that share. So as we purchase more water from Metropolitan, our share of the RTS also increases. So it's going to go from close to 1% to close to 3% in fiscal year 25-26. So what does that mean? The fourth column there, Upper District RTS charge, we've seen increases over the years. However, the next column, which is the MWD, the standby charge collected by MWD, has remained relatively stable. So it's we estimate, we use 1.95 every year when we budget because it can go up and down. There are some adjustments, some certain fiscal years which can be positive or negative. So as you can see, Starting from 2018, fiscal year 2018-2019, our net RTS cost went from 68, just above 68,000 to 3.27 million projected for fiscal year 25-26. That's the net cost to the district. So it's not directly passed through to the producers. We are recovering that through our volumetric charge, which currently our surcharge is $103 an acre foot. Next slide, please. So this table shows what portion of the RTS is now being recovered through our surcharge. So for 21-22, we started with, because it's a smaller number, it's out of the $103 surcharge, $19 of that goes to covering for RTS. And then in fiscal year 25-26, that would go up to close to $63 per acre foot. So, and then I would like to point out that those three numbers, the first three fiscal year minimum purchase numbers, are the commitments that we have so far from Watermaster. So we executed that minimum purchase commitment with Watermaster covering fiscal years 21-22, 22-23, and 23-24. The numbers highlighted in red are the minimum purchase that we need Watermaster or the producers to purchase from Upper District if we are to keep our surcharge at $103 an acre foot. It's not a commitment from Watermaster. It's what we need. So, going back to the minimum purchase commitment from Watermaster, what it allowed Watermaster is to purchase additional water in excess of those 30,000 and 35,000 minimum purchase commitments at cost. So we didn't add our surcharge to any water purchased by Watermaster above those minimum purchase commitment. Next slide. So this slide shows the historical imported water sales that we had over the years. And as you can see, earlier years, we still have fluctuations, year-over-year fluctuations in our untreated purchases. The three bars that have highlighted, off-white bars highlighted, the off-white bars are the purchase commitment from Watermaster. So for 21-22, it's 30,000. For 22-23, it's 30,000 again. And for this current fiscal year, it's 35,000. The other, the remaining blue bars are those that are in excess of the commitment, which were purchased by Watermaster at cost.
And I want to make a note on this chart. Over the last, since I got here, Evelyn said the standby charge didn't cover our RTS beginning in 17-18. That's coincidentally the year I was hired. I had nothing to do with that. But you can see in 2018, a couple of things were happening. Number one, the QL hit a historic low that year. And prior to that, Watermaster had implemented the resource development assessment. And it was ratcheting up. I think back then it was $140 an acre foot per production. Now it's $175. So in 2016, 2018, you can see our water sales for replenishment water were pretty low compared to some of those other years. But that was because the basin conditions were declining. They were on the decline. Watermaster was putting actions into place to address that reduction of local water with the RDA and the establishment of the safe yield for I don't know how many consecutive years at 150,000 acre feet, which was unprecedented. And so over the continuing years after that, because the operating safe yield was 150. That means that's a low number, or historically it's a low number. Maybe in the future it won't be a low number. Means that if there's overproduction, that puts a replenishment obligation on the producers to purchase water. In addition, the RDA was generating revenue to purchase water. So those years of 2021 through now, Watermaster has bought anywhere from nearly 50,000 acre feet to almost 70,000 acre feet with those funds, We've had two back-to-back wet years. Don't know what Water Master Board is going to do next month with the operating safe yield, but I don't see the RDA going away anytime soon. But the producers may not have a large replenishment obligation in the next few years. So we need to be careful about assuming how much water is going to, a large amount of water being sold like it has been the last few years because of the circumstances that we're in now. The numbers you see forecast here on this chart, that 44 and 51,000, like Evelyn said, that is not us forecasting how much water we're going to sell. That is how much water we need to sell with $103 surcharge to cover our cost. So I'll stop there.
And so I think this, we're getting close to the last one. So the potential, so as Tom mentioned, we are currently in discussion with Water Master, and then we'll be starting discussions with the producers about rate options that we need to, we will consider to address that growing gap between the RTS and the standby charge that we're generating to cover, essentially supposedly cover the RTS. So, and here are the potential rate options that we're looking into. Increasing the upper district surcharge to cover the MWD net RTS charge, increase the minimum purchase commitment to cover the net RTS charge, possibly a new fixed charge component to cover the net RTS charge, or a combination of those options, or other options that may come up during our discussions with Water Master and the producers. And so finally, the next steps. So again, as I mentioned, in May, we will be presenting the proposed biennial budget to the Administration and Finance Committee, the revised draft, and then for board action in June. And then we will also continue rate discussions with Water Master and the producers and for board action, adopting the water rates to be determined once they're ready. So, thank you.
All right, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Do we have any questions or comments? Oh, Director Trevino.
On the previous slide, on the options, there was option number two. previous that.
Yeah.
Increase the minimum purchase commitment to cover the RTS charge. Have you had those discussions with the producers?
Yeah, so in fact, Evelyn and I met with Russ and Kelly last Thursday morning, went over the budget. We gave Russ a primer on our budget since it's new to him, and then started to discuss these options. So I think it's recognized, given what I described on the future for how much replenishment water will be purchased in the next few years, strictly relying on an increased minimum purchase we do not think is practical. Because there's probably not going to be the demand for replenishment water to meet that. So what we could do is reduce that minimum purchase to $35,000 or $30,000. Then what does the surcharge need to be above $103 to meet that? And so, for instance, and these are my calculations, and you know, but in round numbers, if we go down to if we go down to 35,000 acre feet, the surcharge would need to be about $153 an acre foot. And the other option is, let's look at the next 2 years. MET's increases on the rate will be 1% and 8%. How can we feather this in a way where we do, let's say, a 5% overall rate increase that is something consistent with what we hear the producers have planned for, and will that be palatable? So we're going to continue the dialogue with the producers and Water Master, primarily with Water Master, with Russ and Kelly, since they represent the producers. They pay the bill. The producers pay Water Master. Water Master pays the bill to us. But we'll also involve the producers in this discussion. On June 12th, we have our regular producer meeting, and I have arranged for MWD staff to be available to present the MWD rate structure in detail. How does the rate structure work? What components go into the various components of the rate structure? But in particular, the RTS charge, how the RTS charge is calculated, what costs go into the RTS charge. So we'll do that on the 12th, continue the dialogue with the producers at that time, and see what we can come up with that is a palatable solution to the producers that meets our revenue needs. And we've also discussed that what we're looking at is a structure that gets us through the next 2 years. The reason we don't aren't looking farther out than that, now we may talk about it, but we won't necessarily go into, you know, try and come up with a structure or an option that goes beyond the next 2 years, is because it's very likely MWD, well, I won't say it's likely, MWD will have some very robust discussions on their rate structure over the next 2 years. With the anticipation that as they approach their next two-year budget cycle, there may be some reform, I won't call it reform, revisions to the MWD rate structure, which could change the RTS and could change a lot of things. So we'll have to deal with that then. So for now, we're looking at what do we need to do for the next 2 years. So in May, the normal committee meeting, our finance committee meeting, would be the first week of May. That is AQUA. So some of the directors will be at AQUA. So we'll look at we'll work with the committee members to see what date, alternative date, perhaps a week after AQUA, that we can have that discussion. And then the other thing we will look at is just some comparisons, although each member agency is different. Three Valleys, most of their water sales are treated sales from their own treatment plant, and then some met-traded sales, and much lower on the untreated. But we will look at other agencies, Central Basin, West Basin. All of them have some kind of form of surcharges on their imported water, treated or untreated deliveries.
All right. Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Okay. I think, as you mentioned, the discussion with the producers and water master is important as we address this, as I know you're already on top of. And all right, thank you for that information. Thank you for the presentation. We'll go ahead and move on to item C, Waterfest 2024 updates. Patty.
Thank you, directors. So I just wanted to take this opportunity to run through what we have planned for Waterfest, since this is probably the last time I'll see you before Waterfest. So if we could go ahead on to the next slide, please. So for Waterfest, we're going to host it again at Arcadia County Park in partnership with LA County Parks and Rec and the County of Los Angeles. I have to say it's separate because they are two separate entities. And the reason for that is because Supervisor Barger did come in with a sponsorship for the event. The date will be Saturday, May 11th from 10 to 2. We're going to have our VIP lunch scheduled between 11:30 a.m. to 1 o'clock, and then a program for the board between 12:30 and 1 o'clock. Next slide. A couple of updates that we're doing differently. So we're changing our Loteria game that we do, and as you'll recall, this is just a way for us to engage the attendees when they come, to have them, one, learn a little bit more about water conservation and the environment. And also, it's kind of like, you know, do the task, learn something before you get a free giveaway item. And we've seen it be very successful because we actually get engagement at the booths that participate in this program. So you'll notice a whole new update in terms of the color scheme for the event. And then once they've completed their card, all the children will get a coloring book with crayons. And then we have a mini conservation kit that we'll be giving all the adults that participate in that. Next slide, please. So just some social media posts that we've been doing. I'm sure if you're on social media and you've seen it, please help us by spreading the word. We're right now in the process of thanking all of our sponsors. And then, Ben, if you could just click like on the first one just to... And then the you know, we're just getting a little creative and targeting all sides of the music genre. Okay, next slide, please. And then to give you an update on some of our advertising that we're doing, you'll notice if you're driving on the 210 heading westbound at the Irwindale Avenue on-ramp, we have a digital billboard on there. And then if you're driving on the 10 freeway, either east or westbound in the Baldwin Park area, you'll also notice two billboards on either side of the freeway. Those are running right now, and they'll run all the way through the event date. For newspapers, we're obviously doing our usual in advertising in the La Opinion, the Tribune, and the Chinese Daily News, and those, that'll hit this weekend and then also next weekend before the event. And then we've got a couple of street banners. If you drive down by Arcadia Park, they've got like four banners on each of their corners that are already up. And then across the parks in our service area that are county operated, we have banners at those locations as well. And then if you're driving on Baldwin Avenue at the Huntington intersection, we have a huge street banner up on there too, thanks to the City of Arcadia. Next slide. And then to give you an update of our sponsors, so we've actually done really well this year. So we've got we've listed all the ones that have come in and committed for this year. As I mentioned, LA County Supervisor Catherine Barger, the San Gabriel Valley Water Association, a couple of our producers, like wonderful Valley County that is present today. So thank you to all of our retailers and partners that have joined us this year for sponsorships. For entertainment, we have Suave Band, which they were here in 2020. If you'll recall, they kind of have like a cult following. So it's nice to have them back, and they'll come and bring their followers. And then this year, the county also offered their Chinese cultural dance group. So this is a group of senior citizens that have a program within the county park system. And so they heard about the event and they wanted to come out and do a performance for us. So they will actually start at like 10:30 and perform for about 45 minutes before Suave comes on. And then a couple of highlights for our exhibitors. So G3 is our landscaping consultant that does all of our classes. They will actually do on-site consultations during Waterfest. Residents will have to sign up, but we have been advertising that to all of our landscape classes that have been happening and then also through social media. So it's a nice added benefit for a resident to actually have an opportunity to get some advice on revamping their gardens. Ecotech will have their landscape exhibit as they've always had in the past. This year, I'm really excited because I always ask staff to find something different. And I've been asking for a butterfly exhibit, but it's too much money. But we got a bee exhibit. And so it's great to kind of show the importance of bees to our ecosystem and how that plays into our watershed. So we'll have a bee exhibit. So hopefully nobody gets stung. It's all good. Mad Science will be providing two hands-on children's science exhibit. I think they're making like slime and something else. I can't remember. La Puente Valley County will come out with their photo booth. Valley County Water District is bringing their drinking water truck. And I can't remember what you guys call it, but the Stanley Cup. Yeah, I didn't want to write that, but it's their Stanley Cup of refillable water. So we're going to try to move away from the bottled water that we normally give out and that we have in both locations. We'll still have some bottled water over by the EMT section, but we'll put in Valley County's water truck. And then we're kind of finding some hopefully refillable containers that the public can take with them. U.S. Forest Service to continue promoting our U.S. watershed or watershed restoration program. Metropolitan Water District will be on site. And then new this year is we actually secured Angel City Football Club. They will come out and they're bringing their inflatable. So they'll be doing some agility tests for the kids. So that's one that I was really excited to have them come out. They're super excited to be in the area. And I believe we've also kind of secured the Laker cheerleaders. Yeah. Yeah, I know. They're a huge draw, Russ. so those are trickling in. So hopefully we'll get some more committed before then. Next slide, please. Oh, and that's it. Any questions?
Awesome. All right. Do we have any questions, comments?
Yes, unfortunately, the Laker girls will be available. only because the Lakers are not going to run deep in the playoffs.
Yeah. All right, it looks awesome. We're looking forward to it. I think we're all looking forward to it. Waterfest is back. Okay, thank you, Patty, for the presentation. We'll go ahead and move on to information items. 8A, press releases and news articles. Those are in our packet. Now we have attorney's report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a brief report on our activities from the past few weeks. Addressed a variety of agreements with the district staff, including, of course, the Waterfest agreement with Bravo Entertainment, the turnkey turf agreement, the Swift Comply software agreements, as well as the data agreement with Valley County. Also work with Evelyn on the standby charge resolution and work with Patty and Tom on some issues concerning sponsorship opportunities as well as a PRA request for the GIS data.
All right. Do we have any questions for our attorney? Seeing none, engineers report today. We have Toon with us. Hi, Toon.
Hi, thank you, Madam President. Unfortunately, Steve can't make it. If you don't want to know where he is, my last email corresponds with him. He was enjoying some Nashville hot chicken somewhere. So you take your guess. Currently, for the Baldwin Park Key Well, as of on April 19, 2024, the key well elevation was 232.5 feet. That was an increase of about 2.8 feet from the prior week. And that would be also an increase of about 8.1 feet from the prior month and about 11 feet higher than 1 year ago. Reservoir storage. Combined storage as of April 23rd, 2024 was 37,563 acre-feet. That's about 45% of capacity. The San Gabriel Reservoir inflow was about 440 CFS, and the release was 1,885 CFS as of April 23rd, 2024. Moore's Reservoir inflow was about 1,839 CFS, and the release was 1,300 CFS as of April 23rd, 2024, but as a follow-up to with LA County, we were told that Moore's releases will decrease to about 300 CFS next week and continue on through the first week of July 2024. Regarding USG3, during March 2024, Upper District did not make any deliveries through USG3, as well as Three Valleys did not, during March 2024, Three Valleys did not make any deliveries through USG3. On the San Gabriel Canyon Spreading Grounds, Three Valleys District's MWD did not make deliveries to the San Gabriel Canyon during March 2024, and San Gabriel District did not make deliveries to the San Gabriel Canyon during March 2024. Current rainfall at Puddingstone Dam as of April 23rd, 2024, it was 23.87 inches, which is about 136% of the average. And San Gabriel Dam, as of April 23rd, 2024, the rainfall was at 38.38 inches, which is 135% of average. Water quality, the Title 22 collected for the Water Master's Basin 1 Groundwater Water Quality Monitoring Program. During March 2024, 8 wells were sampled under Title 22. And then during February 2024, 65 wells were sampled under Title 22. During February 2024, Stetson didn't receive any public notice of well shutdowns to contamination. And I think that's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Questions, comments? Seeing none, we will move on to general manager's report. Tom?
Yeah, so staying on the water supply standpoint, yesterday the Department of Water Resources announced that the State Water Project allocation has been increased to 40%. I sent an email out to the board with that yesterday and to the producers. As I've reported before, Metropolitan's break-even for putting water into storage versus taking water out of storage is an allocation of 30%. So we are now in storage mode, which means cyclic storage deliveries will definitely be available to us. And they are as of, well, Met hasn't announced it, but effectively cyclic deliveries can be made now. So we are making our plans to deliver water through USG3 this summer. The county's activities will have an impact on that. So I did hear the other day from the county that they expected 300 CFS releases from Morris going into July. Our original estimate was they would be pretty well done with those, the larger deliveries early in June. So we'll have to talk with Watermaster and the county about when we think it's the appropriate time to open USG3. And if the spreading grounds are performing well, maybe we do turn them on as soon as they reduce those flows. Or as the main thing when I used to work with Tony and now working with Russ, number one is whatever we do, none of the imported water goes to Central Basin because we're paying for it. So we are making plans to maximize deliveries from USG3, taking all those factors into consideration. So I would say the range that we think is practical for USG3 deliveries for the calendar year would be anywhere from about 70 to 85,000 acre feet. To remind you, because the spreading ground capacity was so impaired last year that we only got about 45,000 acre feet delivered last year. Into Metropolitan Cyclic account, which had 24,000 acre feet in it, the water master funding from last year plus deferred funding from the drought essentially purchased all of the water in the Met Cyclic account. The Met Cyclic account has a zero balance right now, so there's certainly room to put the water in the ground. Before the meeting started, Russ asked me if I was worried about all this local water being in the way of our imported water, and from a water resources perspective, it's water in the ground. So it's a good thing from that perspective. But per our previous conversation, because it impacts the amount of overproduction and purchases of Met water, it has a financial implication that we spoke of before. I do want to thank Tuan, because I get two emails from him every week, one with the Key Well report and one with the Reservoir report. So I keep up to date on what those are. Thanks for sending those out. I know you wonder if I even read them, but I do.
You're welcome.
And lastly, I will be taking vacation May 1st through 7th.
Okay. Do we have any questions for our general manager?
And Patty, Evelyn, anything to add to my report? Okay, thanks.
Tom, you mentioned that last year, I know we had an ambitious goal of importing, I think, 100 to 125 or something into the basin. We got 45,000 acre feet of water. What is the date range on that? Is that the fiscal year or is that the calendar year?
It's fiscal year. And so in wet years like last year and this year, we don't start those USG3 deliveries until, if cyclic water is available from Met, we can start them in the summer. If Met is not making cyclic deliveries available, we usually start our deliveries October 1st because that's the day the capacity charge doesn't come into effect. And with the flow rates from USG3, the capacity charge can be quite a large amount of money. So I just refined my calculation. If we start July 1st and we ran at 280 CFS, which is typically what we have, you know, historically have done, we could put 90,000 acre feet of water in the ground in 6 months. That's in 6 months' time frame. We have efforts underway to make improvements to allow USG3 to run at a much higher flow rate, 400 cubic feet per second versus 280 cubic feet per second. And we anticipate that's going to require some protection of the San Gabriel River banks, because at that flow rate, if you've seen USG3 flow, it comes out at pretty high velocity, and apparently 400 CFS was tested a number of years ago, and it was shot across the river and caused some erosion concerns. So we can engineer a way around that, and so we're working on those improvements as well. If Metropolitan goes into a cyclic cost offset program this year, then we can probably get Metropolitan to pay for those improvements. Those programs are when Met wants member agencies to take more water when they have ample water available to get it stored and moved into the region, and they will compensate you up to a certain limit for costs associated with taking more water from Met.
Great.
So I had a question. Tom, you mentioned about Central Basin, you know, the water flowing. I live there in La Puente. I cross the bridge going into Omani. As the water goes down the river down there, that water is very full, and it's, you know, it's traveling through where the sanitation district is, right north Whittier.
Is it over on the Rio Hondo channel?
On the Rio Hondo channel, that water. And that's basically the end of our district, you know, right, Rio Hondo College right there. Is that water going to Central Basin? Because if you take it all the way, it's going to go to the ocean. So is there stop gaps where people are helping themselves with that water?
So for the upper area, and Russ knows the system much better than us because he used to be very involved in it. But on the Rio Hondo Channel, and if you recall on our little tours of Santa Fe Dam, mm-hmm. right below Santa Fe Dam, there's this little ditch. Well, it's not a little ditch. It's a big ditch. It's just gravel ditch. That's the beginning of the Rio Hondo. And that's where they divert water out of the San Gabriel and send it over to the Rio Hondo. It goes through Peck Park by President Santana's home. Mm-hmm. And Peck Park is the last place where that water can get into the main basin. Once it goes over that spillway at Peck Park, it's concrete lined all the way down to Whittier Narrows. Below Whittier Narrows, the Rio Hondo Channel goes into the Rio Hondo Spreading Grounds. They're just like the Santa Fe Spreading Grounds. They're very large, and they can percolate a lot of water in Central Basin. So that's how that water, when it goes through El Monte in that concrete lined channel, you just assume it's going to the ocean. But there's spreading grounds downstream. There's some spreading grounds along the San Gabriel River below Whittier Narrows Dam on the San Gabriel River channel and then on the Rio Hondo channel. Anything else for us? Did I get it kind of right?
No, sir.
Okay.
Nothing more to add.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Tom. And now we'll go ahead and move on to director's comments. Director Trevino.
I have no comment.
No comments today. Okay. Director Chavez.
I directed staff to send out an email of a video with PFAS to all the directors. Hopefully you had a chance to see those videos. It's an excellent tutorial type of educational issue regarding the PFAS. So if you had a chance to see it, please see it. It's very good. And that's it.
And those are in our emails? Or
yes.
Okay, excellent.
Vanessa
sent it out. Was it yesterday morning?
Yeah. Yes.
Excellent. Okay. Thank you. Katie. Director Garcia.
That's okay. I just want to say that I appreciate your social media videos for Waterfest, and I can't wait. I'm excited for all the booths, but I really am interested in this landscape consultation because it's a hard thing to get, and I think that's on a lot of people's minds right now, so can't wait.
Director Fellow.
I'm going to reserve my comments to a future agenda item.
Okay, thank you. I'll just mention that I did attend the annual San Gabriel Valley Protective Association meeting, which went, I think, very well. We had some very wet years. And there was a gentleman there from L.A. County who did confirm it has been the wettest 2 years in the history of fracking for L.A. County. I think I got that right. And, that's big news. So we've had 2 wet years in a row, and I think we've all felt it. We've all seen it. So there you go. Making history. And then also, I just want to give a shout out to Southern California Water Coalition. I went to their, I think it's the quarterly meeting down in Temecula, and it was absolutely fantastic. They had some great panelists talking about relations with the public, talking about public perception and the legislature. And one thing they mentioned that I know it's not really directly us at Upper District, but it's something for us to talk about and consider, is we need to find a way to restructure the rates where people are not using less water yet paying more, because that just doesn't vibe for the public. So I thought that was a really great point among many down there. Southern California Water Coalition killing it again. And all right, that's all I have. Moving on to future agenda items. Do we have anything?
I do, Madam Chair.
Yes.
This week met Tuesday and today, this morning, to talk about putting together a new business model and the budget. And Bill Hazenkamp yesterday talked a little bit about the quantity of water in the system, and that Lake Mead is doing very well. But I want to talk about storage for a moment. And I want to talk about it in the sense that I think we need to work on a project, this board. We haven't had one for a while. And I've been talking to Adele Hoshkalil for many months about storing more MWD water in the basin, and we do have room to do that. And Adele and I have also talked about obtaining an Irwindale pit, maybe in partnership with MWD, for more water storage. But I'd like staff to come back, and there's no rush, Tom, we're on vacation, and don't worry about this, with a plan of how we can increase water storage in our basin, either by increasing storage and what that would entail, and perhaps a conjunctive use project with MWD that would bring more water into the basin, or the feasibility of a pit with MWD, buying a pit, and the possibility of obtaining federal funds to help finance these ventures. We're probably going to be going to Washington, D.C. sometime this year, and I always like to go if we have a project instead of supporting one piece of legislation by somebody else. And I think it's time for this board to come up with a project and something that certainly is needed, more space for water, to bring more water into the basin and save. Right now, water is going out into the ocean, and we usually save 97%. But it's time to work on a project, and I'd like you to come back and see the feasibility of either option. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Okay, yes, Director Trevino.
Yeah, I concur with what Director Fellow just said. We did talk about storing more water in the basin. And I don't know, probably that's when Shane Chapman was here. We can store up to more water in our basin than Diamond Valley Lake without having to build any major infrastructure. And this is something that I concur 100% with what Dr. Fellow's talking about. We need to have a project. We should have something that we can take to Sacramento and to Washington about the fact that we have this huge basin available. And I hope staff will work on that. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. I think we have some exciting information coming our way. Next, we will go ahead. Do we have any closed session today?
We do not.
Okay. We will go ahead and adjourn. Thank you very much.